Our scripture lesson comes to us this day from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 12, where Paul writes, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to anyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." The word of God for us, the people of God. Today we begin a new sermon series entitled Find Joy. Over the last 2 weeks we've been talking about embracing joy, the joy of giving as God gives. And we just dusted the surface of what Scripture teaches about joy. And so over the next 4 weeks we're going to dig in further into the epistle that Paul wrote to the Philippians. It is oftentimes called the Epistle of Joy. Paul, in these four chapters, writes about joy and rejoicing 16 times. It is an epistle just bursting with joy, which is amazing if we consider his circumstance. He's sitting in prison. He's chained in prison. And yet he's writing a letter to the Philippians, his brothers and sisters in Christ in Philippi, bursting with joy. And so we wonder, I suspect, how does he do that? How does that happen? How is it the case that he is so filled with joy he can write about joy when his circumstances, his happenstance, seems to be anything but? And so we're going to be learning today about how it is that Paul does not allow things in his life to steal joy. And we're going to be learning about these lessons because these are lessons that Christians have been studying in Paul's letter throughout the centuries. And as we learn these truths, as we apply them in our heart, we can begin to learn and live and know joy no matter what is happening in our life. The first thing that Paul wants us to realize is that our circumstance, our happenstance, is going to be something different than what he means by joy. You know, oftentimes when we wake up in the morning, if things are going well, they're going as we plan, they're going exactly the way we want, we can be happy. Things are going good. And so we're happy about that. And there are other days where we wake up and it seems like the world is on the wrong side of the bed and everything seems to be going wrong and no matter what we try, it doesn't seem to work. And so everything seems to be going just downhill and so suddenly we are unhappy. Our happenstance is different. And you might imagine there is a connection between happenstance, our circumstance, and the word happy. When things are going well, we can be happy. When they're not, we are not. And yet, Paul, in a circumstance clearly that would be unhappy, is filled with joy. Paul knows that there is a deep and important distinction between joy in the Lord and the happenstance or the circumstance in our life. We see this, for example, in the life of Jesus. He came into a world filled with all sorts of reasons to be unhappy, a time of difficulty and trial. His ministry were in difficult circumstances and situations, and yet we find in Jesus this never-ending joy. It doesn't mean that there weren't times that he was unhappy or that he wasn't angry, because he was. But it doesn't mean that those times stole his joy. We can see this at times here in the church at Ocala West. There have been, especially in recent months, a number of memorial services and funerals here at the church as we have lost those whom we love as they have gone to be with the Lord. And during those services, if you look across the congregation and the tears that are coming and filling people's eyes, what you'll notice is that certainly on one hand, we grieve because we lose someone we love. But if you move a little bit deeper into those tears and you listen to what people say, underlying those tears is this joy that the one whom they love is no longer suffering, is no longer in this trial of life, now knows the peace of God in a powerful new way. Where people behind those tears, they are still holding on to the promise of God that God will wipe away every tear, that God will allow death to be no more, and God will bring healing to us. And so we look past the circumstances, and we hang on to the promise of God. And this is what the Apostle Paul is doing in his circumstance. And it is allowing him to see things in a whole new way. He is hanging on to God's promises even as he is held in chains. And so he looks at what's happening and he realizes it, as a high-value prisoner, he was most likely chained to a Roman guard who had to look at him all the time. Now, eventually, the Roman guard, they would go in shifts. And so they would one would leave and go home. The other one would come in and get chained to him. And so Paul was there all the time. They were there only part of the time. And yet Paul realized that while they were there, they had to be there. They had to be chained to him. They couldn't go anywhere else. Other people saw Paul as in prison, as a prisoner. Paul looked around and realized he had a whole lot of prisoners. They couldn't go anywhere. And so he started preaching Christ to them. He started preaching Christ to every guard who was chained to him because the guard couldn't go anywhere. And as he was preaching Christ to him, the good news began to spread. As he says, all throughout the imperial guard, they knew why he was in prison, because of Christ. And some of the guards were hearing this faith, and they would talk to other guards about it, either about what this crazy guy keeps talking about, or because the news is starting to sink in and do its work in their life. But no matter what, Paul says, look, for whatever reason I'm here, God has put me here, and I'm sharing the good news, and people are hearing the good news who otherwise never would have heard it. What's happening is some of the other Christians in the neighborhood, they're hearing about what Paul is doing, and he says that, you know what, his courage to share God's truth in Christ led to confidence among the other Christians. So they're now out in the community, and they're now preaching even more boldly the good news of Christ Jesus. Paul saw a circumstance, his happenstance. It was a very unhappy circumstance, and yet he pushed through and he was able to see what God was doing. He was able to see the way that this could honor God. And so he preached Christ even then and there. And he continues on because he knows that there are folks out in the community. He knows that they are preaching Christ. And it's interesting what he says here. He says, you know, I know some of them are preaching Christ out of love. They know the love of God. They love Paul. There's this deep connection. There's brothers and sisters in Christ. But he said, you know, not everybody likes him. Not everybody is his friend. Some people are out there preaching Christ mainly to make his life miserable because he's in chains. And so he realizes that. He recognizes this, but then recognize the word that he says here. And in Greek, it's very short. In English, we say it a little bit longer. But what does it matter? But what does it matter? Who cares? He realizes there are people out there to wreck his day. But he's not going to give them the space in his heart and his life to allow them to wreck it. What does it matter? Because the gospel is still being proclaimed no matter their motivation and intention. I think about all the different ways that little things in life can wreck our joy. How the time that you're sitting at the light and the light turns green and everybody else around you is driving except for the person in front of you, and I don't know, they're looking at their phone or something, and the light is green, and now you're questioning, should I honk on the horn or not? And I don't know. And eventually they look up and realize that, oh, it's turned yellow. They race through, but now it's red and you're still stuck. Not that I'm saying that happened to me, and that's maybe stole my joy a little bit there. But what a silly thing to wreck a day. What a silly thing to allow that to steal our joy. What does it matter? When we begin to allow God to give us perspective, God's perspective in this life, we begin to realize there's a whole plethora of things that could wreck our day. But as we keep our mind focused on God and what God would have us do, and it is a discipline to do that, a discipline to keep our life and heart focused on God, what happens is these things begin to melt away. They become less and less important in our life. The Apostle Paul continues on and he says, yes, I will continue to rejoice in you, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will be used for my redemption, my deliverance. Paul knows that he is sitting in prison. He doesn't have a lot of friends right there with him, and yet he knows that he is not alone. He knows that there are other brothers and sisters in Christ who are praying for him even at that moment. And not only that, he knows the Spirit of God is alive and moving in his heart and in his life. He knows he's not alone. And so Paul, sitting there, realizes that he has a whole community of faith who is praying and encouraging him. It's one of the reasons why being in the body of Christ is so important. It's why we talk about small groups here at the church. Being in a small group where people know you, they know you by name, they know some of the reasons and some of the ways that they can be praying for you and encouraging you throughout the week, so that when you are stuck behind someone at a red light, you know that there are other people who are going to be praying for you throughout that day so that it doesn't steal your joy. And most of all, we know that it is God, ultimately, who is behind our life and underneath our life and above our life and before our life and behind our life and surrounding us. And as we know who God is and what God would have us do and the fact that God is going before us every single day, we can begin to allow the little things of the world to melt away and recognize that it is God and God's joy that can be alive in our life. And that is the reason why we stand on a foundation, not of putting on rose-colored glasses in a world. We recognize the wrong in the world, but we recognize who God is. And so Paul says these very important words near the end here. He says, so I eagerly expect and hope that I will no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage now as always in Christ. I eagerly expect and hope. It's interesting the wording that he uses in Greek and the imagery that comes up. He's actually talking about someone's head and this imagery of leaning your head forward. You're pushing through. It's almost the imagery of running a race. He loves that imagery in his letters. He's running the race. And if you're running the race and you're going up to that finish line, what are you doing? You're leaning forward. You're eagerly expecting and hoping you're going to win. Your head is going first. And what he's saying is that he is going to push through that circumstance with expectation and hope. He's going to push through whatever is happening and get through the other side and see what it is that God is doing there. He's going to, from beginning to end, trust his life into God's hands. And so he eagerly expects and hopes for his deliverance. So these are a number of things that we see what Paul does when he's in circumstances that could steal his joy. He recognizes the difference between happiness, happenstance, and joy, and he realizes his joy is only, truly, finally, completely in the Lord. He looks at the other things that could steal his joy that are so less important in the world, and he says, but what does it matter? And he recognizes that he is a part of a community of faith that is praying for him and that God's Spirit is moving in him. And so because of that, he can realistically every single day live his life with eager expectancy and hope, pushing through the difficult circumstances in looking to what it is that God is doing in his life and in the world. So my great hope for you as well is that if there are times and places that seem to be stealing your joy, recognize that joy is greater than what's happening to you. Recognize that sometimes the little things in the world seem big because we give them that much weight. Recognize that God is with you each and every day. And if some of you, if you have been struggling to find joy in your life, there's a little puzzle in here in this bulletin. It's a little exercise of reflection to give you a time to just focus your attention and just sit down and focus on some of these words of remember and righteousness, believe, discern, gospel, chains, affection, prayer, grace, blameless. These are some words that just allow you to center in, and especially for some of us who have difficulty focusing on God and God's presence, it's just an exercise to help you focus in on who this God is and know his presence with you. So I invite you right now just to take a moment and join with me in prayer as we ask God to be with each one of us this day. Let us pray. Gracious God, we just thank you for the amazing love that you pour out for us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we know he entered into a world filled with difficulty and disappointment and challenge after challenge. And yet, most importantly, he knew you. And so, Lord, this day, as we go forth, Lord, may we too know you, Lord. May your spirit move in our heart and in our life. May we put our full trust in you. May we thank you in rejoicing for all of our brothers and sisters who pray for us, and may we pray for them too, that in all things may be to your glory. For it is the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.